Invite Al to come up and say a word about the Gideons, and he's from right here in Morrison County, and he's come here to share a little bit about them today. So, Brother Al, Lord bless you.
Well, thank you, Brother Johnson, and all of you people here at Motley Free Methodist for inviting me to come here this morning. Thank you for your support of Gideon's down through the years. It's a special privilege for me to be here today as I think about both my mother, my wife's father, and my own father were Free Methodist pastors. They've since gone on to glory, but it's like coming home when I come to a Free Methodist church. And I don't need to tell you a lot about Gideon's because you already know what we do, but I will tell you that we are active in 194 countries and in 93 languages throughout the world. This past year, over $103 million was raised for scripture placements, and over 84 million scriptures were placed. In your own Little Falls area, Gideon Camp, over 1,500 scriptures were placed this past year. As we again look at Isaiah 51:11, such a familiar verse, but I'll read it. So shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereto I sent it. Okay, the old English is getting older, isn't it? Okay, and anyway, I'd just like to share a couple of reports of people whose lives have been dramatically touched by the Gideon-placed scriptures. First is from a Paul Nolan. He happens to be connected with a Nazarene church in Prague, Oklahoma. And he let the Gideons know that, you know, he was raised in a Christian home. There were five of them in the family, five kids, and the parents faithfully took them to church. And he received his first Gideon New Testament in elementary school, like so many kids have. And following high school, he went on to join the Navy. And at the induction center, he was given another Gideon New Testament. But the most meaningful one to him was the Gideon Bible that he saw while in jail. It seems that he slipped into an addiction to drugs, and he was attempting to purchase cocaine from an undercover police officer. That didn't work too well. He wound up in jail in Oklahoma. He was there for 11 days. While in jail, he read the Bible cover to cover and turned his heart and life over to Jesus Christ. Well, since that time, the Lord has blessed him. He has a family, and he's just grateful that the Lord never gave up on him and grateful that God's word was available when he needed it most. I'll tell you another report of a single woman. Her name is Terry Hensley, and she's from Billings, Montana. A single woman, employed full-time, desperately trying to keep everything going, and her life was feeling very meaningless. She was spiraling downhill. She had reached the point where one day she found herself sitting in a dark closet with a pistol and ready to do herself in. In desperation, she cried out to God, and she said, God, if for some reason you do not want me to end my life right here, you need to do something. Just then, the front door opened, and in burst her son, saying, Mama, Mama, look what I have. Well, Terry quickly put the pistol away and tried to compose herself. And just in time to see her son walking in with a Gideon New Testament. Well, Terry says that Gideon was listening to God and doing His will. And how was he to know? He had no way of knowing that a life was within seconds of going into eternity without the Lord. Well, since that day, Terry and her son have opened God's Word together, and she began a faith journey. In closing, simply let me say this morning that you too can have a part in this vital ministry. First of all, through your prayers, and secondly, through your financial support. I'll be at the rear of the auditorium following the service to accept whatever gift you feel that you can give to this ministry, keeping in mind that we do not want to take away from what's happening in this community with your church building and all of that too. But whatever the Lord lays on your heart will be appreciated by the Gideons. I believe you will be blessed for whatever you can do. And again, thank you for your partnership with the Gideon Ministry.
I told the earlier service that when I heard Al share those testimonies, it's exciting to know what God can do, is doing, wants to do, in this case through a simple handing of a little old Bible to a little old boy that goes home and stopped his mother from going into eternity apart from God. And I told the earlier service, I get pretty excited about what God is doing in people's lives. You get excited about that? I get pretty excited about what God is doing in people's lives. When I have seen some of your testimonies and people that are part of our congregation, I see the transformation. I see restoration. I see healing. I get pretty excited about what God is doing, what He has done, and what He wants to do. And today, I'm going to do something that I haven't ever done before. And so if you're here for the first or second time, this is not necessarily normal, but it's what we're going to do today, because I want us together to give God glory, because He has done great things in our community. He has done great things in our midst. He's doing great things in churches. But God is doing a work here that is nothing short of miraculous. Can I get a witness? God is doing miracles. And like I told the other service, this is no testimony or kudos or credits to Jim, not even the Free Methodist Church, but to Jesus. Jesus is Lord. And He is so desiring that people will come to Him. And God has blessed us in these last few years and done a work here that's nothing short of miraculous. And so I want to show you, because I know a lot of you have joined us over these last few years. You've come alongside, you've joined us. God has done a work in your life. Maybe you've been a believer all your life, and maybe He's transformed you in these last few years. But I want to show you in picture form this morning for a little while some of the things that God has done, because I want you to give Him glory, and I want to express to you then at the end a little bit about what we are trying to do here in the Motley Free Methodist Church. You know, for over 100 years, Free Methodists gathered in Motley in a one-room schoolhouse-type building. Very nice place. Wonderful things happened there. That's where, when God called my wife and I to the ministry a mere 11 years ago, it was to this wonderful little place. This building still stands in another part of town. Many of you know where the Free Methodist Campgrounds was. And this is where God called us. And so the campgrounds there, a lot of you know, many things happened there. Revivals and tent meetings and all kinds of things happened. But the facilities were starting to get old and out of date, and the dining hall was a wonderful building in its day, but unless you hooked up the garden hose across the lawn, it didn't even have water. And so they were starting to get out of date. And so this is where God called us, and this is where we began to do to serve Him, as many others had over the last 100 years. But when I came there, God put a passion in my heart to see people come to know Him. And so we began to pray just a couple of very, very simple things. God, stir the hearts of people that are unchurched. I was working at the factory, living at Leader. And so between the two, there was a fair amount of folks that were unchurched. And I said, God, stir the hearts of the unchurched because we want to tell them about Jesus. And the other thing we began to pray about is for a new building. And when we first started in June of 2002, there wasn't too many people there at the time. There had been many more at different times, but there wasn't too many people left at this time. And so this is kind of where we started. But I knew that God didn't call me from the factory to the ministry to close the doors. I knew that. I knew that in my heart. And so we began to pray, Lord, as I said before, stir the hearts of people. We're going to minister to them in the name of Jesus. And I told the earlier services, I looked back on these lofty goals here of our first ones. There wasn't too many of us, so we didn't have too big of goals in mind. And I suppose that 15% was my idea. When I think back and there was 10 people there, that's only a person and a half we were looking to gain. That really wasn't much of a gain, but it was a gain to us. And so anyway, we set some goals and we began to develop some Sunday school. Not that there never was, but just at this time there wasn't. Not that there was never a board or a women's group, but not at this time there wasn't. And so we began to work on some of these things. And in 2002, I was bivocational, and I was planning to keep my day job. Because the church was rather small, and I figured I would just keep working at the plant and minister in the other times. But anyway, God had different plans, and so we decided we should have a Bible school again. It had been a year or two. And so that first year, there was 7 kids there. But you got to start somewhere, right? You got to start somewhere. And so Jessica, and that happens to be my youngest sister. And some of you may recognize little Ariel Blowers, who's already been a high school graduate and moved on already. And some of the other Blowers and Carlson kids in this other picture. So we had to start somewhere, and that's how we began. And as God began to bless us a little bit over there, I began to talk with and pray with the current pastor of this building and their congregation, which was also small like ours. And God did a work for us, and I could tell you this whole story, but it would take quite a while. And I want to just tell you this, for those of you that don't know, God did such an amazing work. We were praying, the board and I were praying, God help us to know in financial terms, this is okay with you to move into this other building. There was 6 city lots here, very sound building. And we were praying, God help us to know this is your will. Long story short, the congregation that was here sold us this building and the city lots for $5,000. And when that happened, we knew it was of God. And so we took the money that we had from the property over there, and we did a few things to get the building ready to move into. We put a steel roof on it and some siding and some things, and we began to get ready to come over, move in, and do ministry. We put in a parking lot and did some painting and stuff, and just trying to bring it back up to freshness and everything, and to move in. In 2005, you can see some things were happening. We had 100-plus attendance, and we had some active small groups. The Received One More Soul grant from the Free Methodist Church of North America is another very lengthy story, but let me just tell you this, that I was wrestling with, I was bivocational, and I and the board were wrestling with, do I stay there and they find a new pastor, or do I leave the plant and become their pastor, because it was becoming evident I couldn't do both. And we applied that year to the Free Methodist Church of North America for a grant, saying that if we can get this grant, it'll help us bring a full-time pastor on, minister to the community, maybe grow enough to be self-supportive. There was only 2 of those $25,000 grants in all of the Free Methodist Church in all of America, and Motley Free Methodist Church got one of them. And again, we knew that God was at work, and we knew that God was in it. And so we began to, we continued to do VBS and Bible studies, and many things began to happen. Many people come to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ, and we've had a lot of river baptisms. Every one of them is just a blessing. Our youth group, we put together a youth group, and Jessica and Tim and others have worked very closely with our youth for many years. I just want to throw this up there. This is part of a PowerPoint presentation that I did some years ago for our denomination at our conference. But I wanted to point out one of the first goals for 2006 was develop and reproduce vibrant small group and Bible studies. We want to achieve at least 50% participation in small groups. In other words, our board at the time felt if there's 120 people in the church, we want 60 of them at least in small group Bible studies. And so these were just some of the goals that we moved on progressively as we continued to grow and do ministry here. A group of folks put together our purpose and vision, and that has not changed. We still want to continue to make Him known, to know Him and make Him known. That's not changed, and it's not going to change. And so there was a year down in our conference that I was actually ordained in the Free Methodist Church. And as a matter of fact, I was ordained on Sherry and I's 27th anniversary. That was the very day that I was ordained. So it was really, really special in a lot of ways. And so things began to change a little bit. We had to go to two services because of space in 2007. Awana came on board and has just blossomed and done wonderful things for our children and our community. We've gone from part-time pastor, bivocational, to full-time, to now one-and-a-half pastor. And so God continues to do a work here and continues to bless and do mighty things. We've got Sunday school classes that are, they're out of space. And so we just praise God for all these little ones. They're meeting downstairs right now. And we praise God for them, but we're out of space. When it comes to our fall festivals around here, you'll see a slide that we remove the pews simply for diversity and more space even yet. So not that the pews weren't nice pews, they were, but the chairs give us more diversity. When it comes to fall festival and stuff, we take all the chairs out of here, and here's where we do fall festival, and here's where we do VBS. And so the church, the chairs have given us a diversity, plus we've added in as many as we can to add some seating capacity. Our Awana program is just plain God-blessed. We've got just a lot of our community's children here that we're ministering to and helping them to learn VBS or Awana Bible study and Bible verses and stuff. And so that ministry has taken off in leaps and bounds, and we're really, really limited on space with that. And so there's that slide that shows we move from the pews to chairs. And so these are just other pictures of what God is doing here in our community and in this church over the last several years. The exciting thing about what God is doing, He's saving people, young and old alike. I could tell you all day long about people, about salvation stories, about people coming to Christ. Young and old alike, all the way from the relatively young to the relatively older. These particular fellows here, you can see the fellow on the left, he's a graduating senior this year. And so Dennis is on the right, and if you heard Dennis's testimony, you would just marvel and give God glory. But you see, friends, my point is, God is at work here. He's doing a miraculous thing here. And I believe that as He continues to call us to be faithful, He's going to be faithful because His Word says He's not willing that any should perish. And friends, I really believe, and that's my prayer for the church, not just this body, but the church, that we start to have the same heart that God does, not willing that any should perish. And so every summer and in July, we go down to the river and we have a wonderful fun time of river baptisms. And these are the recipients last year. You've seen some of the other pictures of the years. But just goes to show that God is is doing such a work in and amongst us. Over the years, the VBS, you can see the children, you can see the sanctuary there with no chairs, and we've taken them all out to make room for the children. But we have gone from that 7 children last year to 135 children in VBS. And so we're involved in a lot of things here. Our young people, our adults, our children, we're involved in a lot of things. And I just wanted to do this today to give God glory for what He has done, because He has done so much here. Our youth, some of our youth have been on a short-term mission trip. They're planning another missions right here in Motley this year to help the least of these in some way. And so we continue to do, as Jesus said, to give sight to the blind, to heal the sick, to preach the good news, to set the captives free. And so none of that has changed, and none of it will change. You can see what God has done for us here in these years. The prior 2 years, it was even a little smaller than that, but what God has done over the last few. And I just happen to believe, brothers and sisters, that God has a few more things to do. And I told the earlier service that this is where I started. The Free Methodist Church has been in Motley a long, long time, but this is where I started 11 years ago. This is where we are now, and I believe God is moving us in this direction. I believe God is moving us to expand the building so we can expand the ministries for which we do here. I just happen to believe that's all there is, friends. I just happen to believe, and this is what I told the earlier service, that none of us are here by accident. Okay, so some of us have come to know Christ while being here. Some of us were in church and have been Christians for decades and have joined us here. But I just happen to believe we're not here by accident. I believe we're here because God wants to breathe Holy Spirit life into His church. We just happen to be in this building. But I believe that God wants to breathe Holy Spirit life into His church, and that His church would reflect the image of Christ. And when the church reflects the image of Christ, things happen. People see Jesus in the church and things happen. And so I just happen to believe, brothers and sisters, that God has got a lot more work in mind. Yes, there are good churches all around us. Praise be to God. In towns all around us, there are good churches doing good things for the kingdom of God. But God has called us together for such a time as this. I don't know why He decided to bless us the way He did, but He has. And I, for one, most of you know me well enough to know that I, for one, think that when God is moving us in direction, we should go. And God has done a work here, brothers and sisters, that I've said it 2-3 times already, is nothing short of miraculous. Healings, transformed lives, marriages restored, miracles of all kinds. And I believe, when I think of the Lincoln Lakes area to the Leader area and beyond, and from Bertha to Pillager and in this whole area, this is where God has put us. And I just happen to know that there might be a need or two yet here. There might be a spiritual need or two around us yet. And so I believe that God is moving us to add on to the facility. Why do I say that? Because we've been praying about it for years. And last Thanksgiving, within 2 weeks' time, two people came to me and said, Jim — neither of these people were in this church, by the way. One of them is now, and one of them worships with us in the summer. They said, Jim, I think you need more space. God is doing a work here, and I want to pledge $50,000 to this building project. They didn't even know we had a building project. Two of them did that in 2 weeks. I just happen to think that's of God. And since then, others have said, can I help this way or that? And we haven't even had a fundraiser yet. I just happen to believe, brothers and sisters, that this is of God. All of you know Pastor Isaac, I think now. I think all of you know Pastor Isaac here. And Pastor Isaac and his wife were looking desperately for a place. Time was running out. They had to move from Duluth, and we couldn't find a place and couldn't find a place. And all of a sudden, we believe God opened up a place here in town for them to live. The rent was reasonable. The house was large. And over that course of time that Isaac and Lindsay moved into that house, the owners of the house have come to the board and said, "You know what, Jim? This is all of God. We're going to give the Motley Free Methodist Church this house." The Motley Free Methodist Church now owns that house. I just happen to believe this is of God, brothers and sisters. I just happen to believe God is in this. And so things like that continue to happen. And I just want to take just a couple minutes here to close and remind us where we were in our last two surveys and tell you a little bit about where I think we're going. Are we going to expand our ministries? We're going to expand our ministries whether we add a building or not. Why? Because there's people that need to be in touch with Jesus. There's hurting that need to be helped. And so we're going to expand ministries whether we build a building or not. But I think a building expansion is part of our expansion overall. And so, I just want to tell you that when we questioned you, and I know not everyone was here during these questionnaires, but when we questioned you in our first questionnaire, the first one told us that 96% who filled out that questionnaire here 6 weeks or so ago said, "We need more space." 96% of us said, "We need more space to do ministry that God is calling us to do." That first survey also told us that we should not borrow more than 50% of what the project would be, which is good business, I think. In other words, you said, we better have at least 50% on hand. Times are tough. I think that's good business. You told us that in the first survey. That first survey also told us, to some degree, where some of the most needed areas of expansion should be. Doesn't address every single need, but it addresses a lot of needs. And so we took that survey, we drafted up a blueprint. A lot of you have seen that on the back wall for the last couple of a month or month and a half. And then we did another survey, and in that one, 91% of you said that the current blueprint was an adequate way to build. It doesn't address everything, but it addresses a lot, and it's a place to go. 91% of you said that's good. 87% of you said that when we get that 50% on hand or more, we should begin. 87% said, when we get it, it's time to go. 87% also said it would be okay to allow the Board of Administration to borrow the remaining from our church conference or loan institution wherever we could. 76% of you in that one said, you answered to the affirmative, that we would be willing to financially and or prayerfully commit or pledge to this effort to get this project started. And so out of these two surveys, we've tried to gather from you how to proceed. And our board has in fact been putting money away every month for two reasons. One, to help build the building fund, but because we know if we have a building, we're going to have a mortgage. We're going to have a house payment. And so the board has already been putting away money every single month in an effort to begin to prepare for this. And so let me just give you a couple of details. We've got $177,000 in the bank right now, and we haven't had a fundraiser yet. With the pledges that those people talked to me from Thanksgiving, if those become a reality, and I was told earlier today that one of them would in fact be a reality soon, that takes us to $237,000. We've been working with contractors and architects, and we've been told and realized that we're going to have a sprinkler system. And so we've got some costs that we didn't know about, some costs to the architect and some costs to the sprinkling systems and so on. And with all of this stuff included, including more new chairs and sound systems and this entire new building, we're now looking at a figure somewhere around $600,000 total. That's far less than we talked about just 6 weeks ago. Far less. I just believe that God is in this. And so what does all this mean? On the fifth Sunday months, which there aren't very many of them, we have Building Fund Sunday. There's one coming up on June 30th. And we're calling upon God and calling upon you, our friends, to help us get from where we're at today to 300 plus so we can begin this project. I know that's a lot of money. And I know that I know some people didn't even pledge to give anything. I know that. Some people said, Jim, I'm just not able to. We understand that completely. And I know this is going out on a limb of faith here, brothers and sisters. I know that. But when I see what God has done here over these last 11 years, it's nothing short of a miracle. And I just happen to believe that God wants to do more. He wants to do more from a lot of churches, but He's called us to do more in ministry. And so I believe this is the way that God wants us to go. And so between now and June 30th, we've got some funds to raise. And I know not everybody has those funds. I know not everybody has assets to get rid of and exchange it to building fund. I know that. But I believe that God is in it. I've seen too much already to think otherwise. And I believe it'll happen. I don't know when, but I believe it'll happen. And so let me close. You know me well enough to know that I never have a sermon without scripture. So let me close with the scripture. Matthew chapter 6, Jesus himself said to the church, to the followers, do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth. Why? Because moths are going to get them, and rust is going to decay, and thieves are going to steal it. That's Jim's paraphrase. But you know what it says. Then Jesus said, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, Jesus said, there our heart is also. And I wonder today, brothers and sisters, in spite of culture and in spite of society saying, do this, do that, do the other thing, take care of yourself, get your nest egg, do all that stuff, in spite of society pounding all that into us, I wonder if we are also considering the kingdom. I wonder, friends, if we're also considering laying up treasures in heaven. I just happen to think, not because of Jim, not because of the Free Methodist Church, I just happen to think Jesus is wanting to do a whole lot more here. And I just happen to think there's a whole lot more needs in our communities, kingdom kind of needs. And so I just happen to feel that God is calling us to expand our building so we can expand our ministries and continue to do kingdom work. You know what? If we do or don't build a building, we're going to still do kingdom work. Even when we're doing a building project, I happen to believe we're going to get there. We're going to still do kingdom work. Why? Because kingdom work is necessary. Because that's what God has called the church to do. And so even in spite of needing permits and conditional use permits and architect designs and contractors finalized and endless stuff like that, we're going to continue to know God and make Him known. Because our community, as I said a couple of weeks ago, friends, our community is bleeding. America is bleeding. People are bleeding. And I don't mean that so much in a figurative sense, but or in a literal sense, but a figurative sense. People hurt. People need Jesus. That's why we're here. Let us never forget we are here to minister the good news of Jesus Christ to people around us. Monday through Saturday too. Not just for an hour or two on Sunday morning. We are here because God has called us. If you are a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ, He has called us to be His followers, to follow Him, and to go and make more disciples. That's why we exist. Friends, let's face it. If we're just going to come here on Sunday morning and sit and feel good about ourselves and go back home and call her a week spiritually, we may as well join the Elks or something else. And I'm not demeaning the Elks. I'm just saying we have just become another club. And I'm not interested in being another club. I am interested in being the living, breathing organism called the body of Christ. I am interested in seeing souls saved, like that woman in Billings who was handed a Bible. She was about to pull the trigger. I'm interested, as you are, in seeing people come to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. And it's not going to happen powered by one person or two, but by the Holy Spirit of God, who's working in churches all over. This one, maybe your church, maybe the church in the next community, but He's working. And I just happen to believe, friends, He's not done. And so, Between now and June 30th, if you've got questions, you please ask me. You send me a Facebook, you send me an email, you call me up, you ask me all the questions you want. I'll answer all the questions I can. But I believe it's time to pray. And by June 30th, I believe it's time to give. And beyond, we've got the project to see it through to completion. But I believe, brothers and sisters, God is calling us to this so we can minister to the least of these right here in our community. This is not about Jim. This is not about Jim being on some ego trip. This is not about the Free Methodist Church. This is about Jesus. It's about pointing souls to the cross of Calvary and a personal relationship with Jesus Christ as Lord. So when we close our eyes in death, and they do, the next words we hear are, "Well done, good and faithful servant." That's why we exist, to point people to the cross and to Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Father God, thank you for blessing us. Thank you for the souls been saved over here for the last 11 years that I know about, but even for 100 years before that. Thank you for the work you're doing in churches and in communities all around us. But Father, you have blessed us. You have challenged us. You have called us to be a holy people. You have called us to be faithful and obedient to you, to your word, to your spirit. Father God, thank you for doing what you've done here for a long, long time. Thank you, Father, for the people that were in this building before we were, and the Free Methodist people that did ministry before we were here. Thank you, Father, for churches everywhere. But God, I feel and just sense that the time is now for us to expand the building also, so we can continue to expand ministry, till we can minister to the least of these in our communities. And so, Father, we're committing this to you, like we've been doing now for 3-4 years. We're committing it to you and asking you, Father, have thine own way. We're asking you, Father, thy will be done. We don't want to get ahead of you. We don't want to lag behind. We want to do your will. And so lead us, Father. Lead us in every aspect of what we've talked about this morning. Lead us in kingdom business every day. Should Jesus tarry, there's work to do. And so, Father, help us to be diligent, faithful, and busy about the kingdom business you've called us to. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.